When that gold line coffee hit the back of your throat, you got four delicious flavors. This ain't your grandma's pit water. This is gold line coffee, and it is the official coffee of hockey.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is episode number 3 of Chrissy's interview series here down at Get the Puck Out. And today, I'm facing the music. Everyone knows I'm a diehard Bruins fan, and our next guest is one of the biggest St. Louis fans I've ever met. This guy knows the team, the history, everything, and I'm here to take it on the chin from Ken Bone. How are you today, sir?
I could not be better. I am still hungover. And I'm still pinching myself every morning to make sure that it's real.
Yeah, you know, that was such a, you know, game 7 on the road. And, you know, to come out and just dominate the Bruins the way that St. Louis did, that must have been a dream come true for you. So let's start. What happened on game 7? Where were you?
Well, I remember on this show, you know, our finals preview, I remember saying that the Blues could take it in 6, but if it went to 7, I just couldn't see them beating the Bruins on the road. Fortunately for me, the Bruins refused to show up in their own barn in Game 7 and were left pretty sad. And, you know, by the time the stands had emptied out, there was an awful lot of Blues standing up against the glass celebrating with the cup. So, I guess that's the level of effort Boston felt like putting out this time.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's one of those things where the city's so they're so used to winning championships that maybe they took it for granted a little bit. Because, yeah, the atmosphere wasn't really in that building for Game 7. I said it that night. I took a little flack from some of my fellow Boston patrons, but I just felt that the energy in the building was garbage. And I think St. Louis just capitalized on it. They were able to shut them up early with the 2 quick goals. And that goal at the end of the period by Alex Pietrangelo, who I just love, you know, Bruin or not Bruin, you know, I watched him a lot here in Niagara, and he's what a special player he was. So to see him win and to see Vince Dunn win was a little cool for me, but obviously it could have been against a different opponent and I would have felt better. But where did you watch the game on Game 7?
Right here in my living room. So, you know, we couldn't get tickets to the watch party down at the Enterprise Center. So we figured, you know, we got the best seats in the house sitting right here watching it. And that third goal that you just mentioned by Pietrangelo, oh my goodness, that was just so ridiculous. And what a heartbreaker to go into the locker room thinking like, you know, Boston actually did play pretty good during the first period, but the Blues weather the storm thanks to Binnington and get 2 on the board that were, you could almost call them lucky. You know, we'll call them good puck luck.
Well, that change by Bergeron and Marchand line was just so horrible on that second goal. They just didn't back check and just let him walk right in. And that was with 9 seconds left. As soon as that went in, it just took the whole sails out of the Bruins team.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you're only down 1 going into the locker room, but then to just skate off away from your man when you're like, it's pretty obvious that you're playing man on man and you're up against Pietrangelo and you don't think he's an offensive threat. Like, the Blues D men have been contributing to the offense the entire playoffs. Surely you've watched the film, Brad Marchand, to know how involved the Blues blue line is in the offense. And you just skate off because you're too sleepy to play the last 9 seconds. That blew my mind. And Pietrangelo saw it and capitalized all the way.
Yeah, no, exactly. One of those things with just like from a guy that, you know, plays really good defensive hockey, you know, one of the better shorthanded players in the league, super defensively responsible and just a bonehead play in a big moment. And they took advantage of it. So you watched the game at home. Did you go downtown or go into the city for any celebrations, or did you just kind of fire up some scotch at home?
Well, we went downtown to, you know, party a couple times at some bars. We didn't go for the parade. The weather early that morning was just abysmal, you know, like a couple inches of rain in a few hours. So a lot of the younger, more spry fans, or, you know, maybe a couple of older guys who had been waiting a little longer than me, they stuck it out downtown and the weather cleared up for the parade. But we came home and watched the blimp coverage of the parade from home. We watched it on TV for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
But, we had our private celebration that day. Our public celebrations were in the days in between.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're anything like Brett Hall, you were really enjoying yourself. It was cool to see him having a good time.
Brett Hull has a good time like nobody else has ever had a good time. Caligula did not have the kind of good time that Brett Hull is had and presumably is still having now. Nobody's seen him for most of the offseason. So I just hope that somebody goes and pokes his liver awake for the, we're dropping the puck here in like 36 more days or something like that. And
yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
better life check Brett Hull. We're opening up the season. And, right. Opening up against the Caps here in St. Louis. It's going to be the last two cup winners in the season opener here. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game right off the hop. And Ken, you know, I saw a shirt and it said drunk as Hull on it.
That's perfect. And
the St. Louis colors. That's a pretty good t-shirt. I would pick that up if I was a Blues fan 100%. And going on to the season here, Patrick Maroon, you know, hometown guy, helps bring the cup there, but they just couldn't find the cap dollars to make it work. And you see him go off to Tampa Bay. How do you feel going into this year for the defending run here?
Well, the core stays much the same. There haven't been any big moves. I mean, hell, there haven't been any big moves anywhere in the league. Most of the time, it's not been a really eventful free agent off season. So the core is pretty much intact. Would have loved to have Patty Maroon back. You know, he's a hometown hero, but when Tampa Bay offers you a little bit more money to come play with their outstanding squad, and you know, they're going to be hungry after getting humiliated in the first round last year. So he's really given himself a good chance to win and, you know, making a couple of bucks along the way. Absolutely cannot begrudge Pat Maroon that. He definitely did his bit for King and Country back home.
Yeah, definitely, right? I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, the guys like Fabry, they need a chance this year. Thomas needs, you need to see more of these guys. So the need for St. Louis to really bring him back wasn't there because they have some younger guys that now that you've won a cup, you really want to take a look at as a franchise, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Fabry needs a little more ice time. We got Jordan Kyrou has had a really couple of good years in the minors. Would love to give him some time, you know, in the show, get him out there. See what he's really made of against the big boys, you know, and a guy like that could probably slip into a Pat Maroon kind of role. I'd love to have him here, but it's a fillable hole for that kind of money. And it's just the unfortunate business aspect of the game.
Yeah. And I got to bring this up as a Boston fan. I mean, it was pretty disheartening to see David Backes, like where he is now, you know, against his former team in a game 7 and he gets put in the press box. Like that just stung.
I mean, he did not play good the first couple of games, and you almost could see that coming. But then when Zdeno Chara's face got turned upside down, thought like, oh my God, you know, he's 103 years old, and now he's got an inside-out mouth. He might have to sit. Maybe Backes will get back out there. But Chara said, no, you know, I'm a warrior. I'm going to get back out there with my boys, to his credit. I don't think it hurt the team to have Chara back out there. It's definitely a huge morale boost. And even though his face was pretty smashed, he didn't look bad either. He's still out there moving.
Yeah, for having a jaw surgery, it wasn't bad. And yeah, like I guess they figured they had enough leadership in the locker room having a healthy Chara. But, you know, every team's banged up in the playoffs. That's from a Boston standpoint, you know, you look at what happened in the first round with Tampa Bay, Toronto, Washington, and Pittsburgh going out. That's probably not going to happen again this season. They were really fortunate to even really go on that run, in my opinion, with the roster they had. That said, who do you see winning the cup next year? If you had to take a team from the East and a team from the West and a winner, who are you taking?
I mean, if you got to bet your own nickel on it, it is really tough to bet against Tampa Bay. They've got pretty much their whole core back. And they are pissed that they got knocked out in 4 games versus an inferior team last year. So, you know, they're going to make some noise, and not just in the regular season this year, I would think. And in the West, it's a little tougher. Obviously, I want to say it's the Blues coming back with their core the same. But this was such a magical run that I see the Blues going deep. They make another run, maybe get to the conference finals. It could be a toss-up from there, but don't be surprised to see the Stars make some noise. They're still a very strong team, and with some of their stars getting a little on the older side, look for them to make a big push, because years after this one, they may not have as good a chance.
No, exactly. And they added Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry, guys who have, you know, been in deep runs before. Pavelski's been to the cup final. Obviously, Corey Perry's got the 2 Stanley Cups. on his resume playing with Getzlaff and those Ducks teams. But I think that I think you nailed the hammer right on the head. That St. Louis and Dallas series is so good that whoever wins, because that would have to be a second round matchup on the divisions, right?
Yeah, or with the division. Yeah, with the with it set up the way it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So whoever comes out of that, I kind of agree with you. Whoever would come out of that is probably who's going to end up making their way to the Cup. As it stands today, obviously we learned this season anything could happen. And Ken, not really hockey related, but I had to bring this up because we've talked about this before. Did you see that the bagel guy got arrested again? He got arrested and apparently he had to go for a psychic evaluation. I know you were hoping to line up a little boxing match versus him.
Yeah, I mean, we hear that the bagel guy, he wants to fight other former memes, and he wants to start with Antoine Dodson, the hide your kids, hide your wife guy. I'm like, boy, if you want to get out there, come bring it to a heavyweight, because I'm just about to retirement age, and if I got to get back in the ring, I might as well do it against a guy who's 4'6" and weighs 103 pounds or whatever the hell it is. Give myself the best chance of swinging down at the guy. But, you know, he just can't save his aggression for the ring. He has to take it out on women and children and customer service representatives or something. And what a piece.
So listen, bagel guy, if you're out here, we're going to make sure this gets to you. This is an official challenge. Ken Bone wants you at the Barstool Rough and Rowdy, man. That's where it should happen, right there. Get in the ring. Stop yelling at all these women. Stop yelling at children. No one wants to date you because you're a little man and you have little man syndrome. And I'd love to see Ken smack you.
It's not because you're short. I know plenty of short guys with beautiful wives. It's because you're an a-hole. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Maybe grow as a person and not taller, because you're not going to do that. But you know, anytime,
that's awesome.
Anytime you want to hop in the ring, I'd be glad to left hook you down, you know, about rib cage high and see how you take it off the side of your head.
That's awesome. We have the official Ken Bone challenge to the bagel boss. He wants to swing right at him, and I love it. Ken, thank you so much for dropping by. We're going to hear from you a lot this season as your Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues defend their title. How good does that sound?
It's unbelievable. You know, Gloria's still playing on repeat, I'm sure, in your house, just like it is here. And the next time I talk to you, I guarantee you that Brad Marchand crying into his glove will still be my desktop background on all of my computers, just as it is now.
Well, Ken, I'm going to bury my face in a bottle of rum right now after bringing that up, buddy. Thank you so much for stopping by, Ken. We love it.
Absolutely. See you soon.
Take care, pal. All right.